You're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com, bringing you the freshest radio in Brooklyn since 2009. Hear directly from chefs to farmers, artists to architects, authors to brewers, and everyone in between. Check out all of our shows on our website or by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. This message is from the Barter House. Next week, Barter House Wines will be pouring a selection of portfolio wines at the annual Wine Workshops Sunset Cruise on July 19th from 6 to 9 p.m. Barter House will be featuring wines from Piedmont, while other vendors will pour wines from around the world. This event happens aboard the Festiva, departing from Chelsea Piers, north side of Pier 60 at 23rd Street and the Hudson River. Boarding begins at 6:30 with the boat sailing at 7. Cost is $115 per person, all inclusive. Please call 212-875-0222 or register online at www.winewkshop.com. Again, that's 212-875-0222 or www.winewkshop.com.
Hey there, it's Helen Holliman, the host of You Look Hungry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm back for my second week on Heritage Radio. We're hanging out in the back of Roberta's restaurant in Bushwick, Brooklyn. I've got an amazing set of guests today, two of the most beautiful, fashionable, young, hip, amazing chefs that I know. Flannery Colette Colton and Lauren Gary. Did I pronounce your last names properly?
Yes, you did.
Okay, good, great. So they're the creators, the hostesses with the mostesses at Big Little Get Together. Can you guys fill us in about what that project is about?
Big Little Get Together is a personal chef and intimate catering company that Flannery and I started almost 5 years ago. We cook for a lot of different people, lunches, dinners, snacks, everything in between, but we really, really focus on our themed dinner parties, which are all over Manhattan, Brooklyn, sometimes in Long Island, sometimes in Jersey. But they're all in people's homes, their backyards, their rooftops, and they're themed around books or movies or seasons, an ingredient, anything. And then we basically create the whole environment, the whole menu, the whole tablescape centered around that. And we cook everything, we plate everything, we serve everything, we clean everything up.
That means washing all the dishes, the tables, breaking down everything.
Everything. We do it all.
You are Renaissance women.
We are Renaissance women.
And you're fabulous. So I had to reference Countess Luann yesterday on You Look Hungry because, I mean, let's be real. Money can't buy you class, and you guys are very classy ladies.
We have a bone with you.
So, Flannery, tell us about the name, the significance, how you guys met.
Well, our name, Big Little Get Together, Lauren is...
bigger.
Lauren, when we started our company, actually had started calling me Little as a nickname. I'm pint-sized at 5'2", only in height, not in appetite or in curves. And so she's a little bigger, and after our, as in taller...
I like to tell people that I'm 5'9", but I'm not
on a good day. So when we had our first dinner party, which was a Great Gatsby themed birthday party, it sort of just hit us like a stroke of genius in the night over several bottles of wine, Big Little Get Together, because everyone likes to get together.
Well, you're in good company because we are both vertically challenged. I'm 5'1.5" on a good day without heels.
You gotta round up.
You gotta round up. It's always, you know, stretching the truth a little bit. But it's such a great name. It's such an interesting concept. And can we go over a little bit about, let's go walk me through a theme party, one of which you've done was a Wes Anderson themed party that visually looks amazing. The food looked incredible.
Thank you.
Talk about your, from start to finish, the concept, how you come up with it, all the important elements that people don't necessarily think about. And just, yeah, talk it out.
Talk it out. Okay, so Wes Anderson, so many people are fans, and there are so many great movies to choose from. And sometimes it's hard to limit yourself to one. In my building that I live in, some of my neighbors happen to have an apartment, and they love Wes Anderson, and their style is similar. So usually,
it was perfectly reflective.
Yes, yeah, perfectly reflective. We used almost all of their plateware, silverware. All of that decor is actually already there. And basically,
which we usually try to do, like, yeah, the people, the environment is usually what comes first, and that kind of ignites, that inspires us to do a certain theme. So I, you know, like with any environment, it's what people walk into first. So if that is really what's presented to you, then you're already kind of like jamming on that, you know.
Yeah, motif. You want to, whatever you pick has to reflect the space, because it's not like you're working in a totally raw space that you're creating from scratch. So you want everything to sort of jive. And they're really big fans of Wes Anderson. They actually like lent us some of the DVDs, because we always then go and watch, even if we've watched them a million times, we always watch or read the material again and familiarize ourselves on a food level. And then basically, our next step is to start thinking about the menu and how we want to incorporate the theme, like with Wes Anderson, you know, how can we incorporate all the different movies? You know, like we did tea sandwiches that reflected the like peanut butter and jelly or tuna fish sandwich from one of the movies.
Life Aquatic?
No, yeah. From...
Oh, yeah. Which one is that from?
Okay. Go for it.
IMDb right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, right.
Please.
Somebody help us with our own party.
Oh, my God. Brain dead. Max Fisher. That's all I can say right now.
Yes. Rushmore.
Yeah, there it is. Boom.
There it is. You know, and just finding little fun, quirky ways to either take... So that's like a direct reflection. But then, you know, or so is like the Campari and soda and Life Aquatic. Steve Zissou, you know, is Campari whore, and so are we, so that worked out well. But you know, we also did a plate from that movie that was like a seafood dish, because the movie's about the ocean, so it can be kind of more like ethereal. And then we always encourage our guests to dress up. It just really rounds out the experience. It's an icebreaker. It's a fun opportunity to like step out of the box and do something that you won't get to do in a restaurant, or you'd feel awkward doing in a restaurant.
It makes the food taste better, though. You know, like it's a huge, huge creative endeavor for us from start to finish. Like once we have the space and once we figure out the menu that we're going to do, you know, Flannery is like mix master flex over here. She puts together like a whole musical mix for the entire evening, which, you know, it's like the things that people don't notice, but they feel, and it's a part of the night. And, you know, I always design all of our invitations that get sent out to our mailer. We post on Facebook. So it's not just about the food, you know, obviously like for us and our company, that ends up being like the focal point and the most important thing and what people are ultimately paying for. But we like to think about every last detail, you know, like creating placemats for everyone. And, you know, we always give them like a doggy bag, you know, some little like thing to take home with them to remind them of what a bitchin' evening they just had with us.
Yeah, like we did for Wes Anderson, we did like these little popcorn in cute popcorn box giveaways. Or, you know, for, I think a really good one for Mad Men, we did like Chex Mix and Tang, you know, so you do like thematically appropriate take home. So even when they leave, they're reminded.
So who's coming to your parties? Is it a diverse audience? Is it a specific type of group that gets drawn to your dinners based off of the event? Who do you think is coming and why?
I think we have a really broad clientele. I think first and foremost, they're always people who are adventurous and curious on a culinary level. And I would also say that although sometimes people will bring guests that are a little less, or a little more hesitant, resistant, yeah, they're our guests are always people who are like really excited to talk to other people and meet new people and hang out in a different space, you know, and really kind of dive headfirst into the night.
They're sensory seekers. You know, they're looking for a new experience, a new flavor, something different, something fresh.
I think, too, you know, depending on our dinner parties, we have the price ranges a lot. We'll do, like, collaborations that are with other people. Like, we did a collaboration with Sigmund Pretzel, which is a really great pretzel shop in Alphabet City on AFB. Woo-woo! Sigmund Pretzels!
Represent.
Yeah, totally. And she's great, and her pretzels are amazing, and that was, like, inexpensive. It was $45 for a ton of food and beer. But then we also do really, really elaborate dinner parties that are like six courses. Every single course has a pairing, whether it be a spirit or wine, and you know, those are more expensive. So I think that also changes the clientele a little bit. Not everybody wants to spend $150 on a amazing, amazing dinner that they will never forget and will be like nothing they've ever experienced.
That's
save up.
Real talk. Real talk right
save
there.
Save up, folks.
So let's get real for a minute. What have you ever had a kitchen disaster during one of your events? Can you please talk about it?
Oh, God. Good stories. Let's go to the banks. How about the fire?
Yeah. There's two stories that we have to tell, and we can be really concise. I'll tell the first one because it's better when Flannery tells the second one. We got hired to go on a trip with a group of really dope, like 20, 30-year-old somethings. And it was like a ski trip, right? So we were making breakfast, lunch, and dinner, snacks, granola bars, the whole shebang. We get there. We're cooking for a lot of people, a lot of food. We just drove. We have a ton of stuff to unload. We do all that. We have to make dinner instantly for all these people. So we decide to do cedar smoked salmon the first night. Cedar plank smoked salmon. For any of you guys who don't know, that's usually a good idea to do that on a grill or someplace outside, not in a old... Can I say shitty on?
Not in a
bad oven. Yeah, not in a bad oven. Anyways, long story short, we soaked the planks, which is what you're supposed to do, and they still ended up catching on fire the first night we're there. You know, the best thing was the salmon was cooked perfectly. The house smelled of this amazing cedar
burning
aroma.
Wood.
We put out a serious fire, and nobody had any idea. They were like, oh, it's really smoky. And we just smile. We're like, yeah, go ahead. Dinner will be ready in just a sec. Just, you know, give us 1 minute. And, you know, we put out the fire instead of... But more recently, Flannery had a really great, like, you know, pull it together moment.
Trooper moment. So we were doing a 90th birthday on the Upper East Side, 79th Park Avenue, 79th Street, you know.
The real deal.
Real deal. June 1st. It's hot. We're unloading. We have wine. We have Prosecco. We have ice. It's all hot, so the ice is getting all sweaty. You know, it's like melting all in the back. The boxes are getting wet. I'm unloading the case of Prosecco onto the sidewalk. Bottom of the box falls out. All of the bottles drop to the ground, and three of them shatter, and from the pressure of the bubbles, explode up my dress.
Literally explode.
It was literally like, explode.
Like a reverse Marilyn Monroe sort
with
of.
Glass.
With glass.
Prosecco. Man.
But meanwhile, you know, I mean, hell, there are still all these other bottles rolling in every direction. So, you
and
know,
the doorman is yelling at us.
Totally yelling,
yelling
at us. Like, what are you doing? You know, not helping us or anything. So we're trying to
You've
catch all of these.
You've got to clean up this glass.
Oh my God. I'm like, really? I'm trying to worry about these bottles that are rolling everywhere. So we collect all the bottles. I'd felt something in the explosion. So I reach up under my dress and like touch my butt and pull my hand out, and there is just blood.
Covered.
We haven't even started the job yet. We have to do 4 past hors d'oeuvres, 2 sit-down courses, 4 past desserts, and set up like
we have to
8
set up
tables.
The whole thing.
We have to set up all the tables, thing. Tablecloths, plating, plateware, everything.
For 50 people.
So I have to, like, on 79th Street, be like, Lauren, I need you to look at my ass and tell me if there's glass in it.
She's like, what is going on? And so it's important to still focus on the fact that the doorman is yelling at us and we're trying to unload, and I had to bend down casually and look up my very short little partner's skirt to see that she has a huge slice slice in her ass cheek.
Oh, that is unfortunate.
And then smile back at her. She's like, is it bad? I'm like, no, it's cool. Just go upstairs. I'll just take care of everything. It's fine.
Oh.
No, so we like go upstairs. I'm unloading everything. I have to turn to the wife of the birthday boy hostess and be like, oh, you know, do you have a Band-Aid? She's like, oh, what size? Large, small? I'm like, I don't really know. Whatever you got. She's like, I'll bring you the whole box. I'm like, that's great. Thanks.
But everything, it worked out.
It worked out great.
It was like seamless.
Until I sat on a wicker chair at the end of the evening when I had forgotten, and that didn't feel so good.
And cried and drowned your tears in some Prosecco.
Or sherry.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, sherry.
Well, folks, don't go away. We're going to take a quick break, and when we get back, we're going to talk to the girls behind Big Little Get Together some more about kitchen disasters and other things. You're listening to You Look Hungry on Heritage Radio Network.
Finger on the Pulp and City Winery are proud to present the Summer Barbecue Blowout Festival, August 6th, from noon to 4 p.m. The barbecue is happening at City Winery, located at 155 Varick Street in New York City. Restaurants featured at this event are Empire Mayonnaise, Van Dag, Momofuku Milk Bar, Imperial No. 9, Mile End, Mexico, Kraft, Dizzy's Club, Coca-Cola, The Meatball Shop, and Dos Toros. Providing the soundtrack for the day are Midnight Magic, Pewter Magic, New Villager, Punches, Ducky, DJ Autobot, and the Snacky Tune DJ. VIP and general admission tickets are available at citywinery.com. Finger on the Pulse of City Winery, we'd like to thank our sponsors, Heritage Foods USA, New York Magazine, Reka Vodka, Sonar, Smile, Guilt City, Sub-Zero, and Wolf. Please come out and join us for a day of fun, food, and dancing. For more information, go to www.fotpnyc.com.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to You Look Hungry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Helen Holliman, and if you're just tuning in, I'm joined by the fabulous women behind Big Little Get Together, Flannery and Lauren. Are you still with me?
Hell yeah, we are.
Check.
So before the break, we were talking a little bit about kitchen disasters.
The drama for you.
Everyone
mom.
Has them. I want to ask you a very important question. It's just theoretical. I'm theoretically... which really means I'm having a dinner party next week for like 10 people and I'm terrified. And I tend to be confident in the kitchen, but only when no one's kind of around or hovering around me. Oh. And I feel like if I'm making dinner for people, I'm like, oh, I'll just make a pot of gumbo or I'll make something that you can do the day before.
Right.
And I'm starting to learn the playlist, the kitchenware, all of it comes into play the 10 minutes before they arrive.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes things hit the fan. So walk me through the keys to what you think are, well, some quick tips on how to throw a dinner party at home without lighting your own hair on fire or, you know, ostracizing your guests in any way.
I think the first and most important thing is to plan a menu or make something that you've made before. If you're not used to doing it, we often make things that we haven't made before, but we have a lot of experience, so we're okay with that. But that is the biggest risk
Yeah, totally.
To make something that you're comfortable making, because if you make it the day before, you're plating it, whatever, people are going to be in the kitchen. Everyone always congregates in the kitchen, and they're going to be, you know, standing right next to you when that fish is splattering all over you.
Yeah,
so you
want
to be ready. Yeah. Oh, the hover.
That's the worst.
Oh, what's that? How do you make that? Where'd you get that? What are you going to do with that? What does that taste like? I don't really like that. I don't think that I'm going to want to eat any of this. And you're like, oh, okay.
Great. This is all we have for dinner.
I think the best thing, make sure you have really good ingredients. Make sure you have booze if your friends drink. Which is already
social
out.
Lubrication. That's
have
important.
Snacks when they get there. Snack time is like a big thing. You know, people come hungry, and that'll keep them out of your hair for like at least 15 minutes. I think, you know.
And there's so many easy snacks like popcorn, like mixed nuts, little things that you don't even have to make. You can source.
Yeah.
But you have them out, and it'll just buy you time in case.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's like, you know, like Flannery said, cook something that you want to eat and that you really love. And it's simple, super simple. As far as like, you know, the setting, I always think candles are awesome. Flowers are awesome. Go simple. You don't have to go expensive, especially in New York. You can, you know, go to the flower district early in the morning and get great flowers, get some jars, you know, get some cool little, like, whatever you're doing, seashells and sand, you know, all that stuff. You can get a whole load of things for under like $30, you know? And just go really simple. I mean, I think that
people
a lot
overthink
of time, yeah.
It.
When you're hosting something for your friends, do something that like really shows them this is my home, this is where I come from, you know, this is what the season is, or, you know, and don't spend too much money. I hate it when you go someplace and you can tell that someone's like so stressed because they've spent so much money on all these ingredients and they're afraid that they're going to like screw up. If you just keep it simple, you know.
Keeping it simple.
Hire us and we can do it for you.
That's what I was getting at.
Yeah,
here.
We're really good at this.
We've done it all one right. Or 1,000 times, you know.
So, all right, let's talk a little bit about your product sourcing. Where are you going to find different ingredients? And that menu, you've talked a little bit about the theme, and that menu is inspired by usually a book or a film or something. How can people build a menu based off of an ingredient? And what are some ingredients that you think are surefire ways to make a solid cuisine or a meal? Did that make any sense?
Yeah, totally. I think go...
It's a hard question.
Yeah, go to the market.
Yeah.
Go with what is... If you go, also, if you do cook with things that are in season and bountiful, it'll be less expensive.
And more delicious.
I think, you know, here it's like if you can go to farmers markets all the time, or if you can go to places like Eataly or Manhattan Fruit Exchange or anywhere in the Chelsea market. Yeah, Calustians, like sourcing all these places and just like talking to the people that work there and that are having interaction with their product day in and day out, they'll tell you what they love and what's really good and what's, you know, bang for your buck, or, you know, what is special right now. I mean,
be inquisitive.
Yeah, talk to people. Talk to the people that are selling you the product, because they're like,
they want to sell it to you. Yeah. So, but they'll be honest with you if you ask them, well, what's the difference between this and this? And then in terms of building a menu around an ingredient, I say, you go to the market, you get inspired, you see something beautiful or fresh, whatever it is, and it's something probably that's familiar to you.
Like sweet peas right now.
Sure. Sweet peas. Like
sugar
sweet
snap peas.
Peas.
Research it.
Delicious.
Yeah.
Google it. Maybe get some other salad. Inspiration. You could do soup. You could do salad. You could do a dip. You could do...
Yeah, you can also pick one ingredient and like go bananas for it. You know, you can really, and I mean, go on
like,
to like food blogs.
Season.
Go on, yeah. You can really just, I think like researching too is beneficial. Like, you know.
So over the past couple of years, dinner parties have become incredibly popular throughout the U.S.
Yes.
Different places like San Francisco, Seattle, New York, even Austin, Texas has some very sophisticated dinner parties. Something that's really interesting is that you're two women, and you're not just two women, you're two very young, hip, fashionable, in the know women.
We're also babes. You left that.
Yeah, well, you're total babes.
We're babes.
They're wearing the most amazing outfits right now. I wish we had a photograph because
we're not wearing a lot, folks. It's hot here.
It's hot in here, literally and figuratively. But what I want to know is this. you are reappropriating, I mean, you know, the title hostess mm-hmm. is kind of a loaded title, right? In terms of our culture from the past, like
right.
1950s yeah. concept of what a hostess is, in my mind, is really a woman who is probably by the end of the night smoking a very long cigarette and holding a glass of vodka because she's stressed out because she's yeah. worked so hard to create this entire atmosphere. You've reappropriated that and you've created a whole new modern spin. Where do you think what you're doing fits into our food culture these days? And how are you changing it? I just asked you like the meaning of
yeah,
the meaning world of life.
So what are you doing with your life? What do you plan on doing after college?
I think that, you know, the hostess of the 1950s, obviously it comes with huge like gender stereotypes. But I think that what's wonderful about being women and doing what we do is that we are hyper-focused on sensuality and experience and really going through, like walking through the entire evening and trying to think those things through. We, you know, have eyes for art and we appreciate beauty in a different way, be it something that you see or touch or taste or feel, and we try to convey that. I think that now that we've had this whole like feminist revolution, we can embrace everything that was great about the 1950s female hostess, but be liberated women and express ourselves and be creative and take risks and be edgy. And
plus, I think, I mean, I'm going to go out on a limb here, but I think women have a really wonderful power of making food taste really delicious and homey. And, it's like this feminine thing that, guess what, guys, you just don't get to have it. You know, it's like a lot of people would argue, you know, women are better chefs, men are better. I mean, I think it depends. We try to be really skillful and you know, try to educate ourselves, but we also have like this innate draw towards food and what it means to people and how it makes people feel. And I think that gives us the upper hand, you know.
We're naturally nurturing, you know, and yeah. feeding people is an act of nurture. So I think it just comes sort of naturally.
And we have a lot of fun.
Yeah, we have
a lot of fun. I mean, we like to really, you know, make people feel like this is the place that they need to be at that exact moment. And, you know, we're not snobs. We're not going to be like a jerk or be like, oh, you know, I'm like, I know how to do this and I can show you how to do this, you know, butchering and all. You know, it's like that makes people feel inferior or intimidated, or they don't know, you know, they feel like they should know it, but they don't. And we're all about just like bottom line, you know, eating, having a good time, drinking, laughing.
Keeping it real.
Yeah, keeping it real. Seriously real.
That's the PB Herman word of the day today. Phrase, keeping it real. So let's talk about your event this weekend. You've got a very exciting event coming up inspired by Midsummer Night's Dream. Is that right? Can you tell us a little bit about... Break me off a little piece of the menu, maybe a little bit of the tone. Can you reveal any of that?
Don't reveal the menu ever. We make sure that we have all like dietary restrictions, health problems, vegetarian, whatever, what have you. We never tell our guests the menu, which is also very exciting. I shouldn't say never, but you know, for the most part with the theme dinners.
It gives us the flexibility to work with anything that's highly seasonal, not be pinpointed to ingredients that may or may not be available. And also, because of the nature of what we do and the fact that we're in all these random kitchens and places and whatever, allows room for us to like work with our environment and jive and avoid any mishaps.
We can change the menus.
Yeah.
Plan, are you saying?
That's great. Flexibility.
It's on a rooftop in Brooklyn. There's still a few seats left, so if people want to RSVP too. Okay. biglittlegettogether@gmail.com.
There will be some delicious appetizers and 3-seated courses that will be delicious and full of summer ingredients and flavors. They'll be light and fresh and keep you feeling satiated, yet quenched, and not too weighed down at the same time.
Yeah. Your website is biglittlenyc.com, correct?
Yes, it is. Yes,
and it is. One last question for you guys. Can we expect to see Stevie Nicks-inspired hair, some glitter,
yes.
you know, leaves, foxtails at this
the
table
whole
setting.
There'll
I hope
be
so.
Flowers and vines and like glitter and probably some fairies and
highly flammable things.
Yeah, things that we can light on fire if we get too drunk. For that,
masks, leaves, what yeah. have you.
a summer night.
I might just drop a fire extinguisher off on your front door just in case.
No one's ever done that for us. Thank you.
There's always a first time for everything. Well, thanks so much for joining me today. It's been such a great chat. And
thank you for having us.
Big Little Get Together NYC. Check it out, people. I'll be back on next week. Tune in. You look hungry. I'll reveal my host soon. Thanks so much to Heritage Radio Network, Jack Inslee, and the rest of the crew at Roberta's. See you then.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.
July 23rd, Bushwick Block Party. It's a party in the street. Free pizza by Roberta. Death Killer Death Wrestling. Featuring the legendary Mad Dog Tosto. Photo booth by Ryan Slack. Water World. Closed by Chimera Dactyl. Mary Meyer. Warren Bogart. Death Killer Asphalt Resistant Jeans. All types of food for your face. Sweet soda by P&A. Roberta's Bake Sale. Heritage Foods USA. Orange Chaney Eating Contest by the Orange Chaney Brothers. Live music by Alex Trujan. Florida Paper Twin. Dang Sign. The Netherlands. Team Robespierre. Wild Yak. MC Todd and Bo Breezy. Night Show. Yeah. Sponsored by Martin Greenfield Clothers. Free Fitness Studio. Heritage Radio Network. Free Williamsburg. 6 Point Beer. Momo's Sushi Shack. Beer Box USA. Planet of the Bates. Bushwick Block Party. It's a party in the street.
All day long.